This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Good evening, listening on BPN Radio. We're going to get Marcia Kendall on the phone with us. We're so so honored to have Marcia, and what a pioneer. She was a leader. She was a leader in women's ministry before women's ministry was cool, before Joyce Meyer, before Beth Moore. She helped pave the way for women's ministry. She was the founder, international president of Flame Fellowship International. She was a former Dallas, Texas Mother of the Year. And wow, she is she's an incredible lady. And I'm going to get her on the phone as quickly as I possibly can. I'm going to call her right now and see if I can get Marcia Kendall on the phone. So I'm making the call, and this is a good way to talk to people anywhere across America and around the world. So I'm giving a call to Marcia Kendall at this moment. Hey, Marcia, this is Dale Gentry, and you are on live on BPN Radio today. And I want to welcome you.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Yeah, thank you for being a longtime friend of Gene and I. You're a woman of faith who touches people all over the world. And, of course, your husband, John Kendall, he was well known. He was a CBN counseling, head of the CBN Counseling Center for many years, chaplain of a television station. And y'all have four grown children, and you have blazed the trail for a lot of women in ministry. You've had hours of personal pain, grief, circumstances, which has only become a platform where stories of victory emerge to encourage, inspire, anoint listeners to trust the Lord in full surrender. And your ministry has taken you a lot of different places. I mean, you've been
yes, it has
across America, around the world, even to the White House.
A couple times.
Yeah. So you've been a you have opened the door for a lot of women in ministry, and I just wanted to have you on today. You are Gene and I, of course, spent several years ministering at Church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas. You were a part of that. Yeah, it was fun, and you also are still connecting all of us. But tell us your story. What's going on in your life, and give us some faith building testimonies.
Okay, I've always got plenty of those. You know, it's exciting to see what the Lord will do when you just put forth just a little effort. I have. In the 70s, and I'm going to digress just briefly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I saw women sitting at home. By the way, this was at a time when women did not work hardly at all. They didn't get out of their house. I think the statistics say 5% of women at that time were in the workforce.
Wow.
So we had many women sitting behind, taking care of their homes and their children, but yet had a heart to do something for God. And I thought, well, they're doing something for the Lord. The greatest congregation we can have are at our knees most of the time while we're in the early stages of motherhood. But they really wanted to do something beyond themselves. You know, Dale, I've noticed that when God does something in depth for a woman, her heart longs to do something for the Lord. And so I'm a firm believer you start at your own home first. And sometimes that's the hardest place of ministry, It's the most difficult place, but I began to listen to the older women. What did they do that made a difference in their home and their family? And so I began to just follow suit. I prayed with my children at nighttime. We would actually have once a week a little gathering with our children, and we called it family council. And we'd talk to them about their week and what they'd been through and pray with them about any situation that they felt was important to them. We had the privilege of praying with all four of our children to receive Jesus into their hearts during those times and maybe some other occasions. But anyway, I started there. And then I noticed that the women needed some encouragement. So it went from there. I would bring them into my home in my neighborhood, invite the women to come in and have bakery goods. That was in the days that we didn't care what our house looked like. Everyone had children, and we knew it wasn't always up to snuff or not even up to date. We were young marrieds doing with what we had. And out of that time, many of my neighbors came to know the Lord because I didn't invite them in with a purpose of anything but just friendship and fellowship and just being a Christian sister to them. And because of that, many of my neighbors found Christ. And that was a beautiful time in my life. Every season is a beautiful time, but I look back to that time as just sharing my life with others. And I think that sometimes women who are wanting to do something for Christ look at the end result and want to start there rather than at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it would be far more glamorous and glorious in such ways that it would build them up so much, I'm sure, in faith. But sometimes the Lord requires, in fact, most of the time he requires that we begin where we are. I've got a little philosophy, if you could call it that, or a motto, or a something I go by that I remind myself often about it. But I when I'm praying about a situation, what would God have me to do? What is it? You know, a lot of people are trying to find themselves. I know when we go through different seasons with death or birth or marriage, we adapt to the new season of life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's beautiful and exciting, and sometimes it's painful. Mm-hmm. And but the thing is, we go through different seasons of our life, and so that God can bring us into a new arena of being able to do a work for him. And so that philosophy is to do what I can, where I am, with what I've got today.
Well, that's great. Why don't you repeat that, Marcia? Yeah. That's good.
All right. I often say it like this. The will of God is to do what you can, where you are, with what you have today.
That's good.
Yes, and I remember saying, God, when we had a little rental home, a little two bedroom, one bath rental home with no carpet, no anything, no amenities, and I'd say, God, if you'll give me a big home, I'll use it for your glory. And one day the thought came to me, and I believe it came from the heart of God. Until then, what are you going to do with what you have? Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I can invite my neighbors in and just be a friend to them. And out of that came an international ministry called Flame Fellowship International. Mm-hmm. FLAME stands for Fly Like a Mighty Eagle. And out of where I was God began to build as I began to accept the fact that where I was where God wanted me to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and not, you know, I learned to just open my home. I lived, at that time, I lived, Dale, not too far from Christ for the Nations. And I had met Freda Lindsay when it used to be the Christian Center. They didn't have Christ for the Nations at that point. She and I met in the swimming pool over there. They had special days for women to swim. So I went in, went over there. It was in 66. And I went swimming. And she and I met. And I didn't have any idea how she would impact my life. But she invited me back to a prayer meeting that they had at the Christian Center, where Kenneth Copeland's mother and many of the old-time women of prayer met and called on God.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught me to pray. Not only did they teach me to pray, but she utilized what was a small gift at that time. I'm a self-taught pianist, and she began to have these meetings at lunchtime once a month, and she would ask me if I would play the music for it. I would be so nervous, I was shaking in my boots just to do that little bit. But because I was given a chance to do something for God,
yeah.
Most women today find that there's not many open doors for them, whether they're young or whether they're older. And I did talk to one lady on Facebook that she said she wanted to do something for the Lord, and she was in her 50s, and no one was utilizing her gift,
mm-hmm.
and she played music. So I found a place for her across town for her to use her ministry. It did not pay. It was 20 miles from her house,
mm-hmm.
and it was a new work where they needed help, and an older couple that are pastoring, and it wasn't big enough for her. So she said, she used the excuse, well, it was too far.
Oh, wow.
And so if women aren't choosy about where God will send them, and I think maybe he tries their hearts. I think he tries our hearts to see what our motive is.
Yes.
And if we're willing to do the small thing, then he increases that. But he gives us opportunity for us to see our own heart. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have just found to do what I could where I was. Oh, by the way, I was going to tell you, at Christ for the Nations, when the speakers would come, and they would, I offered my home, my little house, my little bitty house.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'll fix a bedroom for any of the speakers. And at that time, they didn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So they took me up on it. And I would have some of the best speakers stay in my home. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And my husband and I would pull out wash pans. We'd wash their feet. We'd trim their toenails. I would bake, and I knew how to cook, and my gift made the way for me.
Oh, yes.
You know, the Word of God says that your gift is what makes the way for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I used my cooking, my opening my home, not being ashamed of what I had, what little I had, just being thankful for what I had, and using it to the glory of God. So if women will take what they have, what is it that they can do that's well? And that they're proud of to offer, and they offer that, God takes them up on it. So it's exciting to me to see what the Lord will do. I had a friend, Leah Mae McCurdy. She told me one time, she said, you know, she started out making custard. You know, few women make good custard. Now, I don't know if you're aware of that. But custard is an old-fashioned dessert.
Yeah, I love it.
It's tricky. Mm-hmm. It's tricky. And she knew how to make great custard. So she would make custard, and then she would put it in little cups, and she would take it to the nursing home, and she would give out her little cups of custard to the older women and men who remembered the days when their mother made custard. It's a comfort food, mm. even.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, they loved to see her coming. Well, would you believe she got on the front page of what's called like the Parade magazine today,
mm-hmm.
In Atlanta, Georgia, and they called her the Custard Lady. And she gave glory to God. Well, people began to call her and say, would you come and speak at our group and share with them? And she did. And she said, out of that, one time she and her husband made a trip to China. She said, well, my ministry has been from custard to China, and with a little play on words.
Yeah.
But most people that are successful in ministry, and I say successful, they bring home the fruit. They mm-hmm. know how to win souls.
Mm-hmm.
They start with the basics of what they have. Dale, do you remember when our churches used to take us? I remember one church I went to, like on Tuesday night, they would have a dinner at the church, and then they would take us out two and three at a time and go knock a door
mm-hmm.
to invite people to come to church.
Sure.
And if anyone was sick there, you were to pray for them. We went out shaking in our shoes,
uh-huh.
going door to door around the church area
yeah.
to invite people to church. And out of that, many people came, and some we would pray with them. Some we would go back. They were housebound. So we would take them the papers from the church to encourage them, one of their little pass-outs, or maybe we'd take a dish in or something. And we began to minister where we were. So this is scripture in Romans that says, 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable
mm-hmm.
to present ourselves. And in presenting ourselves, if we can give the work of our hands to those that have need, how honorable. It's doing it as unto the Lord. So beginning where you are.
That's right. Well, that is a good start, and I concur with what you're saying, Marcia. We're not despised the day of small beginnings. I agree with that. Tell us what has happened over the years with Flame Ministry that you started, that you founded, and how has it impacted America and other nations of the world?
Yes, we have. If you'll go online, and we've got Flame Fellowship. If you go in Nigeria, we have about 20 chapters in Africa. We had quite a few in America, and I say had. We've got several left over the years, because the women began to go to work, and the cloud moved. The cloud moves,
mm-hmm.
and when it moves, if we don't move, we wind up trying to take care of a piece of machinery that is outdated.
That's true.
And you can't find the parts for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we transitioned into doing conferences. In fact, I'll be holding a conference in October in Dallas area, and for women. And any woman that's listening today, if she would be interested in more, you know, more information, if she'll either contact me by Facebook or my internet on the email, which is my name twice, Marcia Kendall at marciakendall.com. I would be glad to give them more information on that. By the way, my name is M-A-R-C-I-A. I often say I'm with the Lord CIA. I'm an undercover agent for God. And then Kendall is K-E-N-D-A-L-L. But, you know, I want to talk to you about one more thing.
Okay.
You know, when God called a woman, and by the way, I'm not for sure about our time limit here, but you tap me.
Okay, I'll tap you, Marcia. You keep going.
Okay. I have found that if you become confident in the Lord with what He's done for you, you and you're confident that it was a good thing, you delight in sharing that with others. We've lost the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have, you know, the testimony services in church. And, of course, we all remember some that were really funny.
Yeah.
But I remember some that were really touching and awesome. And those testimonies not only make overcomers out of the one giving it, but mm-hmm. the one listening to it. And I would hear how God would move in behalf of someone. And when I had a similar situation, I'd say, God, you did it for them. Would you do it for me? And so I began to be very interested in the testimony of people. I think, what is your testimony? Well, I won't mention her name because she's very well known in ministry. And I asked her, I said, would you come to one of our Flame Fellowship chapters? By the way, Flame stands for Fly Like a Mighty Eagle.
Right.
So and that's what we try to do, is get women to fly like a mighty eagle.
Yeah.
But she said, well, I've never been asked to give my testimony, and I don't know that I can do it. So I wrote down a couple little things. I said, well, in fact, you would know her. So I said, well, let me explain what I'm asking for. Tell me where you were when you gave your heart to the Lord. What were the conditions? Who touched your life for the Lord? And what did God do afterwards? What was the difference of the change? And that's what a testimony is.
Mm-hmm.
So, or it can be of how God has touched you with a healing or with having faith to believe God for something. Well, I'm telling you what, she had one of the best testimonies. It was so sweet. She told about how in ministry that they stayed in homes when her husband would go to minister, and how one night they felt something run across their bed, and it was a rat. And she told about how this every night when they go to sleep, her husband was holding a revival. That rat was present in that room, and it ran across the bed. And so one night she sat up in bed with her high heel and killed a rat. And I was so impressed by her. You know what? I know she wouldn't mind because she gave that testimony. That's Lovie Phillips.
Yeah, I know Lovie.
Bell Phillips' wife.
Yeah, I know Lovie.
And they started small. And now what they've done for God in touching nations.
Mm-hmm.
Touching nations.
Yes.
So we are seeing that if a woman is willing to do something for God, she doesn't mind being carrying the bags for someone that does it, work alongside of them.
Right.
You know, I think work is the key. I know that's a four letter word to some people, but you know, if you work. If you're willing to work,
mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking back to when I cleaned the bathrooms at church, when I would go and help take care of the babies when they needed a little help. But if I can teach a woman to work or do something, you know, work, the word work in days past was the definition was calling. Mm-hmm. And so when people are looking for their calling, I say, what are you doing right now? Well, I'm waiting on God. Well, I said, well, you know, I used to wait on tables. And when I was waiting on tables and no one was sitting at my station, I filled the salt shakers. I mm-hmm. wiped the table down good. Yeah. I made sure that the seats were clean mm-hmm. and the floor underneath was picked mm-hmm. up. I said I was working. Mm-hmm. So we have people, could I be really honest?
Yeah, go ahead.
That are lazy.
Mm-hmm.
We have lazy Christians that are waiting uh-huh. on God.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to get up and do something. Yeah.
I agree. My,
you know, one time, you asked for a testimony. One time, John and I were going to be at a Methodist church in Tyler, Texas. And we had a motorhome with our kids in it. And John had something he had to do, so he went ahead, and I came behind with the kids in the motorhome. Well, I went to, I got kind of turned around in downtown Tyler, and I wound up going over some railroad tracks. And by the way, it was storming so bad, I could hardly see the road to get there. And I was praying the whole way, and it was one of those Texas storms that come in. And the motorhome we had was an Allegro, and up underneath, you know, the water would go up underneath and hit the motor and hit everything under there, and I began to lose power. Mm-hmm. And it had a few years on it, and I was losing power. So I pulled up on top of the to turn around over those railroad tracks, and I got caught on the tracks.
Oh, wow.
And there was a train coming.
Mm.
And I saw that light going, and I kept trying to get it started. It would not start. I took my kids. I said, come on, kids. We've got to get out of here. And we jumped out of the motorhome and went to the side, and it was on a darkened part of Tyler. And that it was off the beaten path there. And I began to cry out loud, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. My kids were crying. And the rain was pelting down. It was so cold, and the needles were stinging me. And at about that time, two drunks came up in a station wagon. I mean, they were so drunk. And this was the days when the long hair was beginning to be allowed to grow on the men.
Uh-huh.
And they were greasy-headed, long-haired drunks. And I went, oh, no, God, I cried for help. And you sent these two drunks? But you know what? Those two drunk men did something no man in their right mind would have done. They said, we help women in distress. You know, I went, oh, God. And they turn around, and they hook me up with these jumper cables. And then one of them yelled out something to me, and I've never forgotten it. He said, well, lady, aren't you going to do something?
Wow.
And I said, kids, stay back. I'm going to go get what belongs to us. And they were screaming, mama, don't, mama, don't. I said, stay back. And I went, I was sopping wet. I gave that pedal a couple pats, and it started. And the last I saw of those two men, they were laughing and backing off. They didn't even unhook the jumper cable. And I barely got off the tracks when that train came lumbering past.
Oh, wow.
And I've seen God do great and mighty things.
Yeah.
I've experienced the hand of the Lord.
Yes.
And one testimony is so personal. And, you know, you knew my husband, John.
Yes.
He wasn't perfect, but a mighty man of God. That's for certain. His word was gold, and he was a good husband and a good father. And a mighty man of in ministry, but he came down with cancer of the throat in 84, in December of 84, and he wasn't supposed to live. And I cried out like Hezekiah. I said, God, you gave Hezekiah 15 years. I believe that was Hezekiah,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes, 15 more
yeah.
years.
Anyway, 15 years extra. And I said, Lord, I'm going to ask for 30 for my husband. It seemed like a long time to me. And I cried out, give me 30 years more with, I need him in my life. And when he passed away, it was 30 years to the December before, they said he has throat cancer again. And it had been 30 years to the month. I don't understand a lot of things. And I don't even try to dissect that or go there. But I am saying God gave me 30 years more with my husband. He answered my prayer. And when he left me instructions. I'm telling you what, it's not enough to know how to live for God.
Yeah.
But it's to know how to die for him.
That's right.
And sometimes it's just to die to ourselves.
I agree.
Most of the time, that's what it is.
Yes, it is.
But his life was a living witness unto the Lord. So, Dale, I encourage women today to believe for their family, to believe for their husbands. I spoke to one woman. She's a Christian, and I talked with her. She said, "But the love has gone out of my marriage. I just don't feel loved." And I said, that's where you come in. You can take love in, and you can begin to, God will instruct you on how to live with your husband. She chose to leave him, and she remarried and messed up her life and her children's life tremendously. And she's suffering. And sometimes when we do things our own way, when we go at things trying to seek our happiness, you know, what is it that we're told? And I believe there's an element of truth to this. Do what makes you happy, and do what feels good. And I think with the Lord, a lot of that can sure be applied. But a lot of times, the things that God gives us to do, the places He sends us, don't always make us happy.
Right.
But we can have the joy of the Lord, and that's where our happiness is developed.
That's true.
Yes, through finding the joy.
That's right.
So starting where they are at home, but taking every opportunity, no matter where they go. Not too long ago, I was headed up to TCT Television to be with them on a telethon, and I went to the airport, and I saw a Muslim, not a Muslim. Yeah, no, he was Buddhist. Monk coming in. I had arrived 2 hours before the plane would leave, and I said, "You know, Lord, I've never talked with a Buddhist before, and if it's of you, let him sit not too far from me." Of that place, we were the only two there, and there were rows of seats. He came and sat within one seat of me. So I thought, how could I connect with him? You see, until we understand people or have some kind of an understanding, it's hard to witness to anyone. And so I said, Lord, what would connect with both of us? And I thought, oh, meditation. I meditate on the Lord. So I turned to him and I said, sir, you're a monk? And he's put his hands across his skirts and nodded yes. And I said, are you Buddhist? And he said, yes. He said, are you? I said, no. I said, but I need to hear something from you. I need for you to tell me something. And he was shocked. He said, well, what would you like to know? I said, well, I'd like for you to tell me how to meditate. How to meditate. I thought, I can listen to how he meditates. That's not going to hurt me. And so he said, well, you really want to know? I said, yes. The only way I know is what David said. I lay on my bed and meditate. You know, think on God is what we consider meditation and contemplate things of the Lord. So I said, tell me how you meditate. So he said, well, he said, would you like for me to show you? And I said, yes. And so I said, in fact, I thought I'll go to as far as I can with him. I said, show me what you do, and I'll see what I can do here. So he said, will you set up real straight? So I set up real straight. He said, then you put your knees together. I said, okay, yes, huh? And then you you put your fingers together. Well, that's okay. I could do that. And he said, now you relax your neck. You relax your back. And I said, well, that feels pretty good, yes. He said, doesn't that feel peaceful? I said, yes. I said, well, what else do you do? He said, well, then you look straight ahead, but you don't focus your eyes. I said, yes. And he said, then you put your tongue at the top of your roof of your mouth. I said, well, you don't say anything or anything. He says, no. And so he said, now, isn't that peaceful? I said, well, you know, that is very relaxing to sit up straight and do all this. I said, now, would you like to see what I can do? He said, yes. I said, okay, stay sitting up straight. He said, okay, I am. And I said, now, you're going to repeat after me some words. And he said, okay. And I led him in a sinner's prayer. And in that, I put, I don't know really what I'm doing, so you'll have to show me what this is all about. And he followed. He said that. Uh-huh. And then I said, say, I really mean it, and mean it. And he said, I really mean it. I said, okay, now you've done well. I said, now, would you like to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit of God? Would you like God to bless you with a great blessing? He said, oh, yes. And so I said, open your mouth and let your voice come out. See, I thought he was going to tell me to say, I said, just open your mouth. And he did. And within 20 seconds, he had a prayer language.
Oh, wow.
And he was speaking. And I said, now stop. And he stopped. He said, oh, that feels so good. This is wonderful. I've never felt this kind of peace.
Oh, wow.
I've never felt this is different than the peace I have. And I said, it's the peace that the world cannot give.
Wow.
And I began to share with him the good news of Jesus Christ.
Marcia, we're about to run out of time. You have really blessed me. You've been a great guest today. And
yes.
I've never talked to a woman that's led a Buddhist monk in the prayer of salvation and led them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing. You have some amazing stories. And in just a moment, I want you to spend a couple of minutes praying however the Holy Spirit wants you to pray, because we're just about out of time. But I do encourage people to go to Marcia Kendall, MarciaKendall, Facebook page. And also, I'm very thankful that you're on today, and I'm thankful that you're still keeping former Church on the Rock members connected. And Gene and I, of course, were a part of Church on the Rock starting in 1985 for many years. It was from Church on the Rock that we really got launched across America and around the world. And I know we have some former COTR members that are listening today, and I'm delighted to be an alumni of Church on the Rock, Rockwall, Texas. And I'm thankful that you're helping keep us connected with each other, because I know that relationships are very, very important. So we got about 2 or 3 minutes before we have to go. So would you say a prayer, however the Holy Spirit leads you? And I'm so glad to have you on today, Marcia Kendall.
It's a delight. And would you like for me to lead the prayer?
Yeah, you can pray right now. I'll play some prayer music and you can pray for a couple of minutes.
Okay. For you, my sister and my brother, who are searching for something beyond what you have received, I'm going to ask the question that was in the Word of God that said, have you received since you believed? Received what? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit of the Lord is within you. Without His Spirit, you're none of His. But in release yourself to receive all God has for you. And if you don't know the Lord, if you're listening in today and you have not received Jesus as Lord of your life, I invite you today to just say, Lord, you know me. Call your name out to the Lord. Say, God, you know who I am. And I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you all of me to receive all of you. And put it in my heart, Lord, to do the things for you that would bring forth the greatest testimonies in my life. For Lord, you know us. You made us. You saw us in our mother's womb before we were ever born. And Lord, we want to bring your heart to gladness when you think of us, when you see us. So Lord, we're yours. We give ourselves to you. And for those that need to rededicate themselves to the Lord and his purpose for your life, to do what you can, where you are, with what you've got. Surrender is the key. Say, Lord, I surrender. I'm going to quit fighting. Myself, you, I give you myself in every way, and I hold nothing back. Use me for your glory, and I really mean it. When you mean it, God knows. And whatever you've gone through, whatever, wherever you've been, if you need to pick yourself back up again, he'll help you. Go with God, and he'll go with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Marcia, thank you so very, very much for being on BPN Radio today. You've been an amazing guest, and I want to remind our listeners this program will be replayed throughout the day on BPN Radio, and we look forward to having you back again.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'd enjoy it.
Bless you, Marcia.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry. The world.
So for now,